On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. I'm so glad you've joined us here today. You might be joining us live in the Seattle area on 1150 AM KKNW. You might be listening live from anywhere around the world on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You might be listening after the fact in one of the 50-some-odd stations that this ends up syndicated into places like Stitcher and iTunes. You might be listening on my website, ChristineUpchurch.com. But whenever and wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be grateful you joined us because we're going to be having a deep, meaningful conversation about how spirituality and our experience of it is changing and how we need to change our experience of it in order to evolve. But before I get into that and welcome our wonderful guest, I'd like to say hello to the man behind all the technology who allows you to hear this wonderful conversation, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning.
Hi, Christine. Welcome back. And I hope we're all over our Thanksgiving hangovers,
yes,
so to speak.
You and I were talking about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know a lot of people have a food hangover the day after Thanksgiving. I have a cooking hangover.
Which you probably deserve more time away from all that than anyone if you're constantly cooking for everyone else that just shovels food in their face.
Yeah, and I do like two different versions. Like, I've got a son who's allergic to wheat, mm-hmm, but I've got another son who really loves wheat stuffing.
Aww.
So I do wheat stuffing, then I do
sweet
wheat-free stuffing. I do the turkey gravy for my boys. I do vegetarian gravy for myself.
Oh,
so it's kind of like this marathon, but it was great.
Please tell me they help out a little bit.
They do.
Okay, good.
They do, yeah.
I see you raised them well.
I've got good young men.
I can't
call them boys anymore.
Well, right?
So did you enjoy your Thanksgiving?
Young men is what we need to say, not
yes,
boys, young men.
Yes,
yes, it was fairly quiet, actually. I went over to my boys' grandfather's house because they still do the traditional meal. And so hung out for a little bit, watched a little bit of a movie, and then headed home because I had to be right back here the next day.
Oh, lucky
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Well,
thank you,
know, you
for doing what you do.
Oh, well, you know, I never leave this place. I might as well just sleep here. It's all for my hosts.
There's plenty of space under the counter, too.
Oh, you don't think I haven't done it before? Oh, I have.
You know, I recently met our guest, Melissa Lyons. I was out in Philadelphia on business, and she and I started having this conversation about how we embrace spirituality and how we manifest, how that is changing. And I thought, we have to have her on the show to talk about this. The person I'm talking about is Melissa Lyons. She's an award-winning author, speaker, and a seasoned entrepreneur. She's passionate about helping people connect with and embrace fresh perspectives when faced with loss or tragedy. She's the author of a couple of books, and they are absolutely beautiful. Her debut book, I Will Always Love You, has already helped thousands of people move forward with their lives. Her books are about love, healing, hope, and are transformational gifts that should be found in every home, and so says Jack Canfield. And her books are like children's books, but really they're the kind of kids' books that are for adults as well. I've read them and wept. I kid you not. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Melissa Lyons. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Christine. Thank you.
You know, I'm always fascinated by how a person gets to where they're at, you know, why it is they're sharing. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about your background, about how you shifted from the business world to what you're doing today?
Yes, I'd love to, because I think it's a story that might be something that people will be able to relate to it, either because they've been through it or they're in the middle of it now. But I would like to say that I spent most of my, well, all of my professional life until recently, with some kind of hole in my heart or something that was just missing from everything I did, regardless of the success or how great everything was on the outside. It was like an inside-out kind of thing where something was just always dark and missing in my life, and I never really understood it.
Yeah.
And so after having several different careers and finally ending up thinking, well, maybe I'm meant to be an entrepreneur. I'm more creative than I realized. The corporate world wasn't for me, and even through the entrepreneurial journey, I still, when I sold my business about 4 years ago, I still came up empty, even though it was a really successful venture and left me in a position that I was able to be able to spend some time reflecting, which is exactly what I did.
So, what happened when you sort of gave yourself the time and space to reflect and just to be?
Well, the way that I gave myself the time was by saying I'm not going to commit to anything permanently until I find something that makes me feel like I'm coming alive. Mm-hmm. And again, I say this on the professional side because on the family side of things, everything was really quite good. So that was the interesting piece. Mm-hmm. So I started by reading books. I read more books in the last 4 years than I read in my whole life combined. Uh-huh. And I spent time from the books. The takeaways were always like meditating or spending some time in solitude, as well as journaling and doing things like that. Uh-huh. And I worked with spiritual counselors or spiritual people. And I mean, not religious spirituality, but just kind of the new world type of spiritual uh-huh. people. And that really helped transform how I saw things.
So you've been an entrepreneur, you've worked in the corporate world, you're giving yourself this time and space, and you're shifting your perception. Now, a lot of people are exactly where you were, and they're thinking there must be something more. They're waiting for something bigger to sort of strike them like lightning, but they're just... They don't know where to go. What happened with you that kind of changed your direction?
Well, I think that the unfolding of it is very interesting because I'm going to use that word unfold again because that was one of my biggest learnings. So I said, I'm going to do this for 3 months. I'm going to really focus on spending time, you know, trying to figure out what it is that I like. And for 3 months, I'm going to really dedicate myself to this. And so at the end of 3 months, I literally showed up with the lady I was speaking with, and I said, okay, well, I put my 3 months in, and it's not here. Like, I'm no closer to anything. And she just kind of looked at me, and she said, you know, the harder you try, the longer this is going to take.
That's great. Said, that's great advice. Yes.
Now you tell me. But, of course, that's the lesson that we need to learn on our own. Mm-hmm. So she said, you're going to go back, and you're going to learn how to trust and surrender and let your life unfold. And I just thought, okay, that was like one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life was to literally give up the control and trust. Uh-huh. And that's when it started to change. And it was still 30 months later till I got the biggest aha. I had things happen along the way that were really special that at least gave me, it gave me the clue that I'm on the right path. And I had a lot of little hints and nudges. Uh-huh. But the big aha moment was the miracle of writing my first book when I didn't even know I was going to write a book like that.
So, yeah, tell us how that happened.
Well, I journaling was a big part of the therapy for me. And I found that I learned so much more about myself by writing, you know, for 10 or 20 minutes every day. And I should also talk about that, too, because it's interesting. I didn't write or journal because I didn't want to be judged by others, but mostly I probably didn't want to be judged by myself by what I wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so this is how I started to journal, and this is how creative I am. Book, pencil, purse, chair, table, sky. I don't like how she said that to me. I wonder what I'll eat tomorrow. I should go to the gym. And I just wrote every single thing, word or sentence that came to my mind until I forgot I was writing. And then things started to become more automatic and easier. And I stopped judging that part of me, and that's when it really started to become a beautiful process.
Interesting. So it sounds to me like you're saying that even with journaling, we're not even talking about writing a book for publication, just journaling, you were judgmental enough that you had to get over that just to continue to write.
Well, yeah, because think about it, like, what if someone reads it, or I didn't spell that word right, or this isn't connected. Like, even the need to have everything, like, flow chronologically or subject-wise.
Right.
You have to let go of everything and just trust that at some point you're going to write one or two or 10 sentences in the middle of the mumbo-jumbo that actually means something to you.
Uh-huh, right.
It's almost like a puzzle. It's like you're writing your own cryptic message, and in the middle of your message, you're going to find meaning, but you might not find it for a month or a year.
Uh-huh.
But it's there, I believe, anyway.
And you're talking about journaling in a way that's not a linear process, essentially.
it's a healing process. It's a healing process. And I think for me, the healing was allowing myself to not be perfect when I was writing things down.
Uh-huh.
Leave the spelling mistakes. Leave the, I forgot to dot my I across my T. Just leave it alone and just keep moving forward with every single thought that comes to your mind.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to want you to tell us all about how this book sort of dropped into your lap, so to speak, but we're going to go to a quick break. So stay tuned for more with Melissa Lyons.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelm and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
Are you ready to shift gears from spiritual seeker to spiritual rock star? Let Nova Whiteman be your aligning force that will help you navigate the ups and downs of this human experience. Tune in to Spiritual Alignment Radio with Nova Whiteman every second Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit NovaWhiteman.com. That's NovaWhiteman.com.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. Love, love, love that song, Benny. Thank you. You know, Melissa, you were talking about the changes you went through over 30 months of sort of allowing yourself a chance to sort of be and to journal in a way that was sort of letting go and stepping more into trust and more into surrender. And yet, tell us what happened ultimately that where this book sort of appeared.
Well, I was on a vacation, and I don't know if that has something to do with how it all unfolded or not, but I read a book, Opening to Channel, by Sanaya Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, that was one of the things that I, up through my process, I wanted to be more in touch with guidance, and I didn't know that that was something that I had access to.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, just as an experience, I would give that a try. And I have to tell you that I completely did not make a connection for many, many months after what we're going to talk about now. I didn't make the connection, but I should say that that is something that I did while I was there. And so I was just sitting one day doing the normal journaling process that I do, waiting for my husband, and I don't always go back and read what I'm writing. In fact, I rarely do unless I'm looking for something.
Uh-huh.
And I reread what I wrote, and it was in the process of like maybe an hour. And I couldn't believe it. There was this story that flowed beautifully, that rhymed. And at first read, it was about grief and about loss.
Uh-huh.
And I had no idea where it came from. And I was just sort of mesmerized by it. But the next part's even more interesting. When my husband came out of the water, he said to me, "What happened to you? You look like something happened to you." And I said to him, "I think I just wrote a book." And he kind of rolled his eyes because, of course, we just talked about the 30 months of my journey. But, you know, at that point, it was my 50th birthday. So it was actually like 50 years of this, of searching for this missing piece in my life,
right.
whether consciously or unconsciously. So anyway, when I went to read it to him, I couldn't speak the words. I was just fine, just like we're talking right now.
Uh-huh.
I literally could not read the words. I was overcome with emotion. I was sobbing uncontrollably. I was sweating. Like, the physical response to the words when I tried to read them out loud overtook my whole body.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And nothing like that had ever happened in my whole life. So I was, like, since then it has happened. So I am more, I understand now. To me, it's a sign of this is actually authentic information that I'm supposed to do something with.
Right.
But at that point, I didn't really understand what it meant. I did know that it felt like someone dropped a baby on my doorstep and I had to take care of it and make sure that it went where it needed to go.
Oh, you know, that's interesting, Melissa, because I know that when I used to teach reconnective healing, you know, there'd be groups of anywhere from like 75 to several hundred. And typically within the within those groups, there'd be a few people who would come to tears either when learning the work or watching, you know, it demonstrated from stage. And it became very clear that people were overwhelmed with profound, it's a mix of sort of grief and love because they felt like they were coming home to a deeper sense of self, to like a broader sense of self. Do you feel like the tears that were flowing, you know, related to sort of the grief about not having been there, perhaps, or perhaps, like, you know, being more connected to love?
Well, I mean, if you're asking me now, I have an idea, but it was well over a year before I got even close to where I am now in terms of what I think those words mean to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, it's love. It's that sense of love and joy and connection. It's that connection.
Connection. Like, oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, because when I actually realized that I was, again, so when we were on the island and this happened on my vacation, we were actually stuck. It was a terrible storm, and we literally couldn't leave the island until everything cleared up.
Uh-huh.
And then when I actually understood the meaning to those words, which I said was just over a year later,
right.
I was snowed in for 3 days and couldn't leave a city that wasn't my home. And I was alone in a hotel. And I realized now when I read the book,
uh-huh.
to some people it's about loss, and to some people it's about loss of life or loss of marriage or loss of a career.
Uh-huh.
For me, it was a letter from my best friend. And I actually think that all those words were me talking to me about loving myself and being ready to step into the new phase. And the loss or the grief would be letting go of who I was and moving forward to who I'm going to become or who I actually am.
Wow.
But I just wasn't connected to that person.
Wow. And it's called
I think that's where the joy comes.
I Will Always Love You. And
It's crazy. It's amazing.
The way the book starts is, if you're reading this now and I'm far away, please pay attention. I've got something to say. It was my time to go, and I can't explain why, but there was a reason. It was my turn to fly. So, and the book goes on, and it offers sort of like the spiritual perspective and the about loss and again, from my interpretation, when I read it, it was like the afterlife, and then and how we're supposed to be moving forward. But you're saying that you can interpret it in multiple ways in terms of a loss of a marriage, loss of self, part of oneself. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's written from the perspective of someone who's passed, like moved on from this physical world. But I also think it's written from the perspective of maybe like a higher self, you know,
right.
A higher consciousness of just like, focus on love and trust in good things. Listen to your intuition and see what life brings.
Uh-huh.
It's that surrender that you're taken care of. And And yeah, even the line, welcome your challenges as they appear. Accept them as lessons. There's nothing to fear.
Yeah.
You know, and that your lessons are gifts. And so it's like all of those things can stop us when our life is sort of derailing and say, okay, I'm still protected, even though it's not perfect this moment.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I think sometimes, although many of us know like these things to be true, it's hard for us to live it every day or live it every moment within every day. And there's something about your books, and you've got one about the loss of a pet as well. Both of them are just profound. And I tell you, I cried when I read each of them. There's something about, it's almost, from my perspective, it's a vibrational aspect to the book. And I'm not sure if it's the way it's worded. I'm not sure if it's the energy behind it, per se. But that feels transformational. Have you been hearing that from other people?
I have more and more now, especially since the second book is out. Uh-huh. And when I hear that, I get shivers, like a beautiful tingling shiver through my body. So it feels right. And you mentioned Jack Canfield a little while ago, and he held the book up when he read it, and he said, you don't even have to open this to get healing from it. There's an energy that comes with this book.
Yeah.
It's just within holding it. And I thought, wow.
Right, right.
I'd never heard that before.
And, you know, I absolutely believe in things, whether they're physical things, food that's prepared, you know, a book can have this vibrational impact on us. So what's your advice to, you know, not everybody's going to be writing a book. What's your advice to help people sort of create that highest level creation within the context of their human life?
Well, I can speak like for me is that I was living a life that was what I was thought I should do. It was what society sort of thought I should do,
mm-hmm.
you know, go to school and then go to a higher education, and, you know, and then get married and get a mortgage, then have kids and then stay in your career and retire. Right.
Right.
You know that
yep.
thing?
Oh yeah.
And,
been there, done
right,
that.
And that might be right for people. And uh-huh. that's great if it is. But that's the sort of the thing that everybody sort of is supposed to do. We're not all the same. So I think that we need to connect to what we're called to do. And you can't connect to what you're called to do until you connect to who you are. And you can't do that if you don't take time being quiet every day.
Mm.
So that's my first advice. And if you're trying to squeeze a handful of water, it's going to take a really long time. You can't try. You have to surrender.
Yeah. Oh, that surrender piece is huge. And
yeah.
You know, it's funny because about a year ago, I wrote a blog called The Power of Letting Go. And it's funny because it's my most Googled blog. I don't know what the keywords are, but there are people from all over the world who end up on it, you know, every single week. And I think that it's been a missing piece for us. There's this, we've gone through the stage of, you know, affirmations and visualizations and do in order to manifest. And yes, there's been some writing and some wisdom about surrender and letting go. But I think that many of us have not sort of basked in that surrender, so to speak. Why is that important?
I think it's important because you talk about energy. And I think that our energy comes from that whole act of surrendering. You know, regardless of philosophical or religious backgrounds, this idea of it's not my will, it's thy will, but mm-hmm. Whatever it is that you are surrendering to.
Right.
I just think that, I think that there was a time in our lives where we could maybe be goal-oriented, and I think that that did work for people, but I think that time is sort of passing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're moving into the new era where we need to operate from our heart.
Yeah, and I think that we're getting compelled to in a couple of ways. One, you know, those of us on our individual paths sometimes sense the importance of this, or there are some, you know, very wise channelers who are saying the same thing. But I think just by our life events and the collective events across this planet are sort of tossing us about like... And even some of the old manifestation techniques aren't working for people who had them down pat. So I think that it's kind of like we're being forced to let go one way or another.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, people will say, like, you can debate if it's changing or if it's not changing. But with what you said, like, if the way that people manifest it has evolved, then the proof is right there, right, as it evolved.
Yes.
You know, and for me, like, Christina, I was so fear-based in my life. And I do now know that the biggest person I feared was myself and my own judgment. But there's that external fear, too, that guided all of my decisions to make sure, like, just to make sure that everything is perfectly right versus just being right.
Yeah.
And that's when I could let go and think, if I can serve a higher purpose, then it's not about me, it's about serving. And that shift from making it be about me to being about serving gave me more strength than almost everything put together, was shifting it being from about me.
That's beautiful. We have to head into another quick break, but stay tuned for more with Melissa Lyons.
Calling all ladies. Are you struggling with neck, back, shoulder pain, or postural issues? You actually might have a related bra problem. Talk to Maria Monti at the Healthy Bra Company. She is a professional postural therapist who offers custom fitted, custom altered bras in 2,500 size combinations specific to your body type, shape, size, anatomical features, and breast weight. Call Maria today to find out more at 360-815-3205.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on 1150 AM KKNW in Seattle and Transformation Talk Radio around the world. I'm talking today to author and wise woman, Melissa Lyons. Now, Melissa, you know, you're talking about the importance of letting go and so that the authentic self can emerge. So what do you think about some of the manifestation techniques out there where you need to do an affirmation, the same affirmation, day in, day out, maybe twice a day, maybe three times a day, indefinitely until your goal or visualized outcome occurs?
Well, it's not a technique that I've used, and I would say I'm relatively new into this world, so I wonder if it's if it is as effective as it once was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my perspective is that if you do it once and you feel it and it feels powerful, then if you're doing it over and over again, you're not trusting. And that lack of trust is based on fear. And so that fear can get in the way of the creation. Because that fear, like you were talking about before, that you sort of let go of fear and began to trust. And that's when the book flowed in. So if we've got fear there, can we really have the manifestation or the energy of abundance, whatever that means, abundance of love, abundance of material goods, abundance of connection? Can that really flow in when there's fear?
Well, it's certainly a contraindication, isn't it?
Yeah.
It does. And it goes back into that control piece, too.
In what way?
Fear. Control meaning this is what I want and I'm going to get it even if it's not what's right for me.
Oh, that.
Right?
Yeah, that old expression, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. So I think that it's almost dangerous.
Uh-huh. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. And, you know, this book that I'm working on, it's gone from the top 10 myths about spirituality to the top 20 myths. And one of them is that it's always helpful to seek spirituality. And people think, oh, that's awful. That's sacrilegious. Of course, we need to seek. Well, seek can mean that things are hidden. Seek can imply that you need to strive and struggle. I mean, there are many ways in which seeking can get in our way. And it's funny because when I started thinking about the phrase seek and ye shall find, I got this intuitive hit that something about it wasn't quite right. And I think it's a very powerful phrase in a lot of ways. But when I started doing some research, I found that seek and ye shall find, when it was translated into English, it was slightly mistranslated. And it was supposed to be, instead of seeking, ye shall find, it was supposed to be keep on seeking, and ye shall find. So I think of it sort of like the difference between, like, deciding that we're going to, you know, manifest something. We're like, it's sort of like the hunter going after the buffalo and say, okay, I'm going to seek a buffalo. And then and you're very, very focused and you're going after that. That's your goal versus this keep on seeking isn't like, I need a buffalo, but rather, I'm going to be aware. I'm going to open my eyes. I'm going to look. And it's more like a gatherer and saying, okay, well, it's berry season. What am I going to find? Oh, there's some red strawberries and there are some blackberries. And it's more like seeking like a gatherer as opposed to a hunter. And that kind of seeking to me is more about surrendering and allowing the goal, so to speak, to sort of become pop in as inspiration as opposed to like us in our ego choosing what we want to manifest.
That I love that whole scenario. Yeah, that makes sense. And it really resonates with me.
So, you know, you had you were in the corporate world and you had a business. Did you used to seek like a hunter?
Oh my goodness. I think that was probably like the highest thing that I did every day. I would wake up and I was so goal driven into tied to like financial things, like, you know, the cost of our materials and supplies and what were our sales this day, that I missed most of the joy in everything that I did.
Oh, wow.
And another huge thing for me that I think really changed everything is the whole idea of cause and effect. I don't know if it's by training or by birth or how I became focused on effect, which is what we're just talking about, right?
Right. So
now I look at the cause.
So tell me more. I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah. Okay. So for example, if I want to sell 1 million books,
uh-huh,
and all I do is look at how I can sell 1 million books, that would be the effect. And if I want to say how much money I might make, that's the effect. But if I look on, I want these words somehow find their way into the world where they need to go to bring healing and love and joy in times of darkness. And I focus on just doing that work.
Uh-huh.
And I let everything else go. I put it out there once, what I want, and now I just work on the cause. And then now my fear is gone, my determination is gone, and I'm totally filled by serving. And now I'm filled with joy and happiness and love and passion.
Mm.
And the rest will take care of itself. And that was a big shift. And I really love my life every day more than I did the day before now. And it continues to be like that. And I never lived a life like that.
Right. So one of the things I find so interesting is, and something that you said to me in Philadelphia, is that you've written these books that they are more general than just sort of support for somebody with grief. But that is a huge piece of it, whether we're grieving the loss of a loved one that's human, or with your other book, grieving the loss of a furry friend. And here you are speaking at grief conferences, and you said, but I'm not an expert. So are you letting that get in the way of, like, not you haven't gone to school to become a grief counselor, and yet here you are sharing wisdom about grief? Do you let that get in the way that you don't have the right credentials?
It really stopped me. I did the first 6 months, at least, of having I Will Always Love You. It really got in my way. It was an obstacle. And I realize now that I don't speak about grief. I speak to people who are going through grief, but I speak to them about changing their perspective and looking at things a different way that can bring more light and more love and joy in their life. So, uh-huh. For example, I can talk to someone and saying, like, why do you want to stay sad? Why are you still sad? For example, like, this maybe isn't the best example, but it's like, it's because I feel guilty being happy when she's gone. I don't want to be happy without her here. Uh-huh. It's like, so you think she's watching you be happy, you feel guilty? Yes. Okay. So what if she's watching you and she actually is disappointed in you because she wants you to be happy and live joy because you get to still live and she's not here. Like, what if you just turned around? And so I find that, and people look at me and think, oh, because it's like, we don't know which one's more right or wrong. So let's go with the one that makes us enjoy our life more, because that is what we're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what I find. So now it's okay. I'm not an expert on grief, and I never will be, but I'm an expert on maybe looking at things in a way that can make you more, your life more enriched. And then people around you will benefit from it.
That makes sense. So what other perspectives? I mean, you talk about people who've lost a loved one and sort of shifting their perspective. For somebody who's just going about their life on a day-to-day basis and they haven't experienced a big loss recently, what do you want to say to them about shifting their perspective?
Well, what I would like to say to anybody in that position would be, don't wish this moment away. Don't wish this moment away because you wish it was different.
Mm.
Because if we actually put a finite number of days that we have in our life, if how we're feeling right now would change how we're feeling. Like, if you know you had 7 days left to live, uh-huh. and today you're going to be sad for the whole day because of something that happened to you, and people do that. People can take a day or two to get over something that's bothered them, or even longer. But if you only had 7 days, you would find a way to snap out of that faster. So why not? Why not do that? So I think that every moment we have, even like, I look at my life now, and there were many, many, many dark days or weeks or months in my life looking back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wish them away, first of all, because I can't. There's no value in that. And secondly, they help bring me to where I am now. And now I get through it much faster. And so I would say to those people, there's a way that you can actually make things still, like, don't resist things.
Uh-huh.
So don't resist the things that are troubling you. Let them flow through you,
mm-hmm.
but then move to a state of gratitude or joy or even a bit of relief.
Uh-huh. And so I love what you're saying, that make sure to feel what you're feeling, because I think sometimes the reason it drags out is because we are not allowing ourselves to fully experience it.
Yeah, because when we run into something like this, I think there's always a lesson, I think. And so if we don't learn the lesson, it's going to stick around until we do, or it's going to come back in a different color,
uh-huh.
in a different shape, in a different size. So,
yes.
You know, I remember someone once telling me, she's like, it's like you're running away from this dark funnel cloud that's been, you've been running away from it your whole life. And the invitation to you is just to stop, turn around and look at it. It's mm-hmm. just trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I did, that again, it was another part of that unfolding of, yeah, there's nothing to run from.
Yeah, that's great advice.
On that same line, like, welcome your challenges as they appear, accept them as lessons, there's nothing to fear.
Mm-hmm.
See them with gratitude and understand their role, then get back to focusing the thoughts you control. Like, see your challenges with gratitude, because they have a message for you.
Right.
Whether you like it or not.
Yep, and if we don't get it the first time, it's happy to come back and let us know that, you know, I've got a message for you. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more with Melissa Lyons.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Samantha.
My name is Susan Glavin.
My name is Momoy Astake.
Hi, I'm Cornelia Stephanie, and I'm here to inspire creatively wild women to rise rooted in spiritual and material abundance.
Every woman that I've spoken to has an incredible dream of bringing even more love, beauty, and harmony to their families and to their communities.
And I'm here to start an evolutionary revolution among women.
To heal their karmic debts, to transcend the shame of poverty consciousness that women have lived with for centuries. It's time for women, for you, to have a new relationship with money, to radiate wealth from the inside out. We are creating a ripple effect, empowering millions of women to claim their inner wealth. Join Susan, Samantha, Momo, and Cornelia Fridays on the Millionaire Imprint for Women at Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Melissa, before we go any further, I want to make sure our listeners know how they can connect with you and how they can purchase books. What's your website?
It's melissa-lyons.com. So it's melissa-lyons.com.
melissa-lyons.com. And your first book is I Will Always Love You, but you've got another book that I've looked at and read. It's absolutely beautiful. And the title is Until We Meet Again, From Grief to Hope After Losing a Pet. Oh my gosh, that book just brought the tears flowing like crazy, Melissa. How did that book come about?
Well, I mean, it's funny, but it's almost, it's not the same, but it's a very similar story to I Will Always Love You. I thought that when I had my business hat on, I thought, I should do a book about pets.
Uh-huh.
And that will be something that would be really good. And so, of course, nothing happened. And so I put it aside to allow everything to unfold. And right. I thought, well, obviously it's not going to be the next book.
Uh-huh.
And one day when I was looking for files on my computer, I came across a Word document where I actually had the book 85% complete in a Word document that I had forgotten I had done.
Really? So how long had it been since you'd done it?
Probably 6 months.
Huh.
But again, it was one of those mindless things. Like when I just start to just let things flow, I'm not holding on to the effect or the outcome.
Right.
I focus on the cause. And so now it's like when it needs to happen or it needs to show its face, it does. And it's just crazy in a wonderful, crazy way.
Yeah. And it's getting released in the U.S. next week, is that right?
At the end of next week, yes.
Ah, that's great. I think that everybody who has a pet, everybody who's ever lost a pet, everybody who loses a pet absolutely needs to get this book. It is just gorgeous. And tell us a little bit about the illustrators of your book.
Well, I Will Always Love You is a wonderful young woman from Michigan. She lives in Chicago now, and she just did a great job for I Will Always Love You. And in that book, the children have gray skin and no faces. Uh-huh. So anybody can put anybody, any age, any race can put themselves into those children and go on the journey from the morning to night.
Yeah, that's a very interesting choice, and it works. It's like I look at these pictures, and when I look closely, it's like, yeah, they don't really have faces, and yet they feel like any child.
Yeah, they're warm, aren't they still?
They are, yeah.
Yeah, and their hearts start out blue and cold, and throughout the story, like, there's so many things in that book that that you won't see until you've read it several times, but the hearts change from this blue, icy kind of cold through colors to the end when it's trust that I'm free and home at last, cherish each moment like life goes by so fast.
Uh-huh.
They're white light.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a beautiful as you go
transition.
Home. Yeah, yeah, special. And then Until We Meet Again, though, now they're vibrant and they're children from all races as well and different colors of hair and skin and uh-huh. all kinds of animals. But there's water and boats and all kinds of scenery. And so it's a much more uplifting and it's just a different experience altogether.
Uh-huh. It is. And it's, it's absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And,
It's got some special messages, too, because just like in I Will Always Love You, where it's from the perspective of someone who's moved on, this is from a pet that's moved on,
mm-hmm.
and it's the pet talking to the owner. And the pet really gives the owner some advice on what the pet would like to see the owner do, too, to release that guilt again.
Uh-huh. To move on with life.
Yeah, and things like one of my favorite lines is the animal saying to the reader, I taught you things as you watched me live. Unconditional love and to always forgive.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true about animals too. Oh my goodness. It's
right.
So true.
They do teach us, but I don't think unless we're really present to what that animal is there for, we don't realize how much they're actually showing us things and we're missing it sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it hits us smack in the face after we lose them that, you know, the important role, that unconditional love, that forgiveness, that companionship, that physical connection. And once it's gone, it feels like this huge chasm within us.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and we talked earlier, too, about being kind to ourselves, or where I said to you, like, the person I feared most of judgment in the whole world was myself.
Right.
I wasn't aware of that.
Uh-huh.
And we also talked about taking that time to be quiet, whether it's prayer or meditation or journaling, whatever it is where you just allow yourself to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line there too where it says, allow your mind time to unwind and be free. Mm. Be as kind to yourself as you were to me. And these are lessons that we need for ourselves.
Yeah. Be as kind to yourself as you were to me. Wow.
That's
profound.
Animals?
Yes.
Right.
Most of us are really good to our animals.
Better than we are. Like, and it's like, okay, so the animal's like, okay, I'm not with you, but you better remember this.
Uh-huh.
You're still there with yourself for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's great. So I know that one of the messages that you put forth in your book, in your talks, what you share is about helping people become empowered. What does it mean to be empowered?
Well, to me, it means empowering yourself to live a life that feels right. Like in one of the books that I'm working on, there's a line that when I feel yucky, I'm really quite lucky. Meaning that when you're getting that feeling inside of you, you've got this message that you're not on your right path. You're not connected to what is really where you should be, or
uh-huh.
you wouldn't be getting this message that doesn't feel right.
Right.
And so empowering means like allowing yourself to release the pressure and anxiety that you have on when you're trying to be something that's not fitting.
Mm-hmm.
And like to operate like as an instrument of a higher purpose than operate as an instrument of your will.
Right. So tell me, Melissa, you know, the lines like that, when I feel yucky, I'm really quite lucky. you've written these books in the form of what most would consider to be a children's book, and yet they are so profound for those of us who are adults and those of us who are on our spiritual journeys, our psycho-spiritual journeys, who are embracing life in big ways. Why are you choosing to write in this form? Do you see any benefits to it?
Okay, well, that's such an interesting question because I'm not choosing.
Right, yes, exactly.
There's the first one, right? Yeah, I'm allowing. I'm not choosing, and I don't know why, but everything comes out that way before I even think about it. But I can tell you about a year and a half, maybe a year, like before I wrote that first book, I had people over and I worked on a workshop where I was trying to teach a bit about the law of attraction, a bit about the spirituality, everything that we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. And it was a flop in terms of I didn't connect or reach the people who were there for their workshop.
Uh-huh.
And so my takeaway was I need to figure out how to teach this to children. Because then if I can teach it to children, I've simplified it enough,
yeah,
and I've made it quick enough that the adults will get it when they read it to the children.
Yes.
And that I went away with that. And then all of a sudden this started to happen. So I think this is the universe's way of giving me my wish of I want to teach it to children so the adults will just pick it up as they go.
I love that. And I also think that some of the most profound spiritual perspectives are very simple. Simple yet profound.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
So simple. It's crazy. So simple.
You know, I love your books. I love what it is you're offering, and I've really enjoyed our conversation. Again, can you mention your website and the titles of your book?
Yes, and before, though, I want to tell you that I think what you're doing is so important, and I'm so grateful to be part of this journey with you because I think the world needs it.
Aww,
so thank you.
Thank you.
And it's melissa-lyons.com, so melissa-lyons.com, and it's I Will Always Love You, A Journey from Grief and Loss to Hope and Love, and Until We Meet Again, From Grief to Hope After Losing a Pet.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Melissa, for joining us here today. And thank you, listeners, for joining us here. If you want to hear the replay, go to christineupchurch.com on the radio show page. And also, I mentioned the Power of Letting Go blog. Check that blog out if you're intrigued. And again, go to melissa-lyons.com for more about Melissa. Thank you, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.